Chapter number 18. Journey to Vrindavan. All glories to Sri Chaitanya, the son of Sachi. All glories to Nityananda Prabhu, the son of Padmavati, and the life of Janava Devi. All glories to Advaita Acharya, the husband of Sita. And all glories to Sri Gadadhar. All glories to Srivas Thakur and all the devotees. In answer to Sri Jiva's question, Nityananda Prabhu spoke to the assembled devotees, revealing deep truths. He said, "Listen, O Jiva, both Vrindavan and Navadvip are the shelter of countless devotees. Purified souls crossing over material nature live there as associates of Krishna. As opposed to the material world, that abode is eternal, non-material, and fully conscious. You should know that the houses, gates, rivers, streams, forests, and courtyards there are all fully spiritual and attractive. It is a blissful place, transcendental to material nature, resting on Krishna's inconceivable and supremely magnanimous existence, Sandhini potency. By the Lord's potency, that holy land has descended here in Navadvip Dham. This is because Krishna's greatest desire is the deliverance.
Fires will extend all over the world and take the place of all sectarian institutions which exclude outsiders from the precinct
of misconception, serves as a protective coating to secure it from the materialists. Those who have no relationship with Sri Chaitanya may appear to live in the Dham, but actually they simply live above that covering, blind to the real truth. Just as a bee who sits on the outside of a jar of honey cannot taste the honey within by licking the glass jar, a materialist can never taste the real sweetness within the holy Dhamma. Although one may think, "I am in Navadvip," proud Hamaya happily keeps the holy Dhamma far away from that person. But if by some great fortune one receives the association of a devotee, he will soon develop a relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The relationship between the soul and the Supreme Godhead is a deep subject. O son of Vallabha, it is a treasure that souls in bondage cannot easily understand. Even if one calls out the name of Sri Chaitanya with apparent affection, if that relationship is not genuine, one simply remains entangled in the material world. Such a person lives above the illusory coating of the Dharma and never attains pure devotion. Such persons are pretenders who cheat themselves and others who are like them. They have no humility but are full of pride and think themselves fully qualified as great souls. But by the powerful mercy of the devotees, even such a fallen person can give up his pride and perform devotional service. One should think himself lower than a blade of grass, be more tolerant than a tree, and expect no respect for himself, but show respect to all others. When one is endowed with these four qualities and sings the glories of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appears in his heart and establishes a relationship. There are five different kinds of relationship with Krishna: neutrality, servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. By worshipping Sri Chaitanya in the mellows of neutrality and servitude, one gradually realizes the higher mellows of friendship, parenthood, and consorthood with Sri Krishna. On the path of perfection in loving Krishna, different moods awaken. These moods develop into the predominating mellow in one's relationship with Krishna. Whoever makes a material distinction between Sri Chaitanya and Sri Krishna is vile and worthless, and will never attain a relationship with Krishna. On the other hand, whoever possesses the divine qualities, beginning with humility, and accepts the association of devotees, will first worship Sri Chaitanya in dasya, or a relationship of servitude. The devotee gradually perfects this dasya worship of Sri Chaitanya, and it is in that mood that the devotees call Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After this, if one develops to the standard of love of Godhead in the mood of Vrindavan, his worship of Sri Chaitanya becomes the worship of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna have combined as one and descended as Sri Gauranga. The complete pastimes of Radha Krishna are fully present in him. After the serving mood reaches maturity in the heart of a living soul, the Vrindavan mellow naturally develops. At that time, the form of Gaurahari in Navadvip becomes that of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and the nectar of their eternal pastimes inundates the devotee. This is how a devotee enters into the eternal pastimes of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. Navadvip and Vrindavan are one and the same, although each of them have transcendentally unique qualities. Materialists who are blinded to spiritual life cannot see the deep relation between Navadvip and Vrindavan, or how they are inconceivably one and different. The relationship between Vrindavan and Navadvip has its root in the deep relationship between Sri Krishna and Sri Chaitanya, who are also at once equal but unique. When one develops a taste for the most exalted mellows of divine love, he can see Radha and Krishna within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very soon, Rupa and Sanatana will teach you all these truths, O son of Vallabha. Now the Lord himself has given you the right to enter Vrindavan. O Jiva, do not delay any longer in going there. Saying this, the all-merciful Nityananda Prabhu placed his lotus feet upon the head of Jiva Goswami, empowering him with divine potency. At that moment, Jiva Goswami, experiencing great ecstatic love of Godhead, swooned and remained unconscious for some time at Nityananda's feet. There in the courtyard of Srivas, the symptoms of ecstasy overwhelmed Jiva's body. He cried, "How unfortunate I am that I could not see the Lord's pastimes in Navadvip! Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes to free the souls bound in this material world, but because I did not see those activities, I am uselessly passing my days." Hearing that Sri Jiva Goswami would soon be departing for Vrindavan, many devotees came to the courtyard of Srivas Thakur to bid him farewell. The senior devotees gave him their blessings, and the younger devotees begged him for his mercy. Folding his hands, Jiva then spoke, saying, "O devotees, please excuse my offences. You are all servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gurus of the entire world. O desiratories of devotion, bestow your mercy upon this insignificant soul. Let my mind always be attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and let the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu be my goal, birth after birth. A mere ignorant child, I have given up my home, but you are my friends, you are maintaining my life, for without the mercy of devotees like you, no one can attain Krishna. Therefore, O brothers, give me the dust from your lotus feet." With this, he praised each of the devotees present in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur and bowed down before them. Then Jiva Goswami went to the house of Jagannath Mishra with the consent of Nityananda Prabhu. At the lotus feet of Sachidevi, his heart moved by spiritual emotions, he received the order to go to Vrindavan. Bestowing upon him the dust from her lotus feet and all her blessings, Sachidevi bade Jiva Goswami farewell on his journey to Vrindavan. Weeping and weeping, Jiva Goswami crossed the Ganges. Crying the name of Sri Chaitanya aloud, he went on, knowing that the order of the Lord was supreme. Finally, he reached the edge of the Holy Land. He offered obeisances to the Holy Land of Navadvip and crossed the boundary, leaving the Dham behind and beginning the long journey to Vrindavan. Suddenly, the Holy Land of Vrindavan, with its beautiful Jamuna River, awoke within his heart. He felt the presence of his beloved brothers, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. One night, as he was continuing his travels, he rested along the way and had a dream. Sri Chaitanya appeared to him and said, "Go to Mathura. There you and your brothers, who are all very dear to me, should together reveal the scriptures of devotional service. Dedicate your lives to my service, and you will always be able to see my pastimes in Braja." Awakening from his dream, Jiva felt great ecstasy and hurried to Vrindavan. The contribution that Jiva Goswami made in Vrindavan is impossible to describe. Later, some fortunate soul will elaborate on this, and hearing that story, devotees will become jubilant. This description of performing pilgrimage in the holy land of Nabadeep Dham has been recorded by the poor and humble Bhaktivinod. "I offer one prayer at the feet of all Vaishnavas. O Vaishnavas, let my connection with Sri Chaitanya become firm. By your mercy, allow me to become a resident of Nabadeep Dham. This is my only request. I am an evil worm in the hole of materialism, devoid of devotion, filled with lust and insane with anger. If you are not kind upon me, how can an evil servant of Maya, like me, have any connection with Sri Chaitanya? O Nabadeep Dham, please give me your mercy and appear in my heart. Only then will I be able to escape the clutches of illusion. O Prauramaya, protecting goddess of the holy Dham, you are the personification of mercy and the only hope for crossing over the troubles arising from ignorance. O Vridha Shiva, protector of the divine abode of Nabadeep, be merciful unto me and let the holy Dham be revealed to me. O residents of Nabadeep, devotees of Sri Chaitanya, kindly place your holy feet upon my sinful head. Please hear this prayer of mine, that I may quickly attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya's lotus feet. Although I am very low and fallen, taking the order of Sri Nityananda and Sri Janava Devi upon my head, I have here described the glories of Nabadeep Dham. Because I have been ordered by them to write this book, and because it is filled with the names of Sri Gauranga, Nityananda, and Nabadeep, I cannot be guilty of any fault, although I am unqualified. O devotees, in reading this work, please pluck from it the valuable fruit that will enhance your pilgrimage. If one reads this book while performing parikrama, the results of his pilgrimage will increase 100-fold. This is the verdict of scripture. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who sees himself as vile, low, and worthless, who aspires for the shade of the lotus feet of Sri Nittai and Janava, thus sings the glories of Nabadeep Dham. Thus ends the complete reading of the book Sri Nabadeep Dham Mahatmya by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The first book in the compiled book of the hidden treasure of the holy Dham, Nabadeep.